Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on a Monday for another exciting, riveting, action-packed week of Dune.
Spoilers.
All of those things are lies.
Lies. All right, Tom DeLong.
Yes, those are all lies, because this week...
Like last week
is...
A lot of show, don't tell.
Yeah, it's a lot of just sitting in rooms talking. So, sitting in some baths and stuff.
Sitting in an out-of-control ornithopter.
Yeah.
Not talking. Yeah. Flying, gliding. I don't know. We'll get to it later on this week. Today we're going to talk about a mud bath.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever taken a mud bath?
No, it sounds disgusting.
Oh, you should try it.
No, I shouldn't.
I enjoyed it.
I like being clean, not getting not clean.
Oh, man. It was a place in Denver, of course, that just went into this like sauna type of ring. It wasn't like a vat like we see in this. It was just like they gave you some mud and you like spread it on yourself and then just like sat in chairs and like it was like a hot room and when it dried
sitting
like,
in a hot room with old naked dudes covered in mud.
They were not naked, but there were some old dudes in there. They weren't naked in this part of the of the facilities. That was a different part. And it felt good after you get all washed off and skin felt real nice.
Nope, don't like that.
Well, I highly recommend it. So yeah, we are picking up back in the mudroom, mud bathroom, whatever it is.
Hospital.
It's just some room in the Capitol.
Yeah,
in the palace. We get to hear the second part of Raban's, briefing. Huh?
Raban.
We've said it differently the entire time.
Yeah, I know, but it's Raban.
Is it?
Yes.
Again, well, we had this conversation with when Calf was here. He was also firmly in the Raban camp.
In the movie, they say Raban.
Okay. This was one of those like
tomato. I know.
Well, I read the word. And I never heard it spoke.
Yeah.
So it's always been Raban in my head. Sounds better.
Anyways, Raban finishes connecting two brain cells together and says, nothing survives such a storm. It's a certainty.
Yeah, they're dead. It's a certainty.
And then we're back at the oil. And this time we see the surface of it and it's kind of bubbling as the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen rises from beneath.
And he says, so it's done finally. And I had the hardest time concentrating when I was writing notes for this episode because this looks so uncomfortable. How Stellan Skarsgård, thank you, was able to act through this is insane to me because this looks so gross.
We're going
to
talk about it here in a little bit.
Okay,
actually.
Good.
Yeah,
good. I'm glad you have
some. Art and Soul of Dune has a lot of stuff on this on this specific scene.
Okay, good, good. Before we get to that, let's talk about what the Baron wants. Yeah. He is glad to hear that they're dead.
Yep.
That it's done finally. And he wants Raban to go tell people on Gedi Prime to start selling their spice reserves, but slowly.
Send word to Gedi Prime to begin selling our spice reserves, but slowly. We don't want the price to fall. You have no idea what it cost me to bring such a force to bear here. Now, I only have one requirement. Income.
Yep.
Now squeeze, Raban. Squeeze hard. That's the Baron at his core.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. He is the one that is in control of spice. He is the one that benefits the most from the entire relationship that the Imperium and that the Spacing Guild have with Arrakis as a planet.
Yeah.
He is the one that is actually in charge because without him being able to provide the spice to the Spacing Guild and to the Imperium, everything comes to a halt.
Yep.
He, at the end of the day, is the one with the real power.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's pretty sound economic policy, what he's doing.
Yep.
You know, he's got all these reserves and, you know, start selling them off slowly. Don't flood the market with it so you can keep that price high.
Yep.
So what we don't see here, and this is, I'm stealing a little, well, no, I'll get to that in my book section later. So.
Okay.
And then Raban asks about the Fremen. He says, you know, what of the Fremen? He says, kill them all as he sinks.
Sinking back down into the oil mixture.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's where we leave this scene here. We get a cut back to the worst carnival ride ever.
I'm going to stop you before we cut back to the worst carnival ride ever, because we do see a really cool shot from behind the Baron looking at Rabban.
Mm-hmm.
And we see how the Baron's suspensor field is integrated into his body.
Yeah.
And how it's basically looks like it's surgically attached to his spine. And just like the scarring around it is so just like grotesque and nasty. Oof. And everything.
I think I
meant it's so cool though. Like,
I think I mentally blocked that out.
Yeah, no, I love like biohacking shit like that. And to just see like how fucking weird and gross it is in this like massive body.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was just like, anything to do with the sludge, I want it out of my frame of view, my field of view.
But yes, back to the worst carnival ride ever. For about 9 seconds, we just see this fucking ornithopter getting tossed around in this Coriolis storm.
Oh my God.
Relentlessly.
I can only imagine how queasy they are in there.
Well, we see inside and Paul's just kind of like resting his head upwards against the...
Well, that's tomorrow. We'll get there tomorrow.
No, that was the start. Or that was like right after he yacht the yoke.
Yeah.
He's just like letting his head like back from a couple episodes ago or whatever. But right. Yeah.
Cool. So some book things.
Yes.
So this conversation between, I mentioned yesterday, this conversation is something that happens between the Baron and the Beast.
Yep.
There's a third person that's involved. The guard that I mentioned a couple weeks ago, Nefud.
Okay.
He actually does the initial briefing, saying, hey, we chased them into the storm, all these kinds of things. And the Baron really pushes back on him, being like, did you see the bodies? Did you see the bodies?
Yeah.
He's taking a much more active.
He's not as accepting of the fact that they're definitely dead.
Yeah.
Just because they went into the storm.
Yep. So he's much more concerned about the, you know, are they actually dead? And the guard is, or Nefud is just like, he's like, I don't know what to tell you right now. I'm so sorry. They have some conversation about how they captured Thufir Hawat.
Yep.
Which we not even going to touch on. It's not a part of this movie at all.
Which is sad.
Which is very sad.
We love Thufir.
Yeah. And, then the Beast comes into the conversation and says his whole spiel about, you know, chasing him into the storm. Nothing survives such a storm, all that stuff.
Yeah.
When the Baron says, you have no idea what it costs to bear out this attack or whatever, how much it cost. In the book, Beast Raban goes, oh, was it expensive? In a very casual like manner.
Yeah.
Right. And the Baron like gets pissed at him, and he's like, he says something to the effect of, if you maximized all of the profit on Arrakis, it would take us 6 years to pay back what I paid for this.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It does not give an amount, I guess.
No, but it's safe to assume that it's an insane amount. Like,
yeah.
What was the number, for the cost of like just the Herald of the Change?
1,000,046 or something like that. Very specific number.
Yeah. So if just that was like over a million.
Yeah.
I can't imagine hiring out what was it?
Three legions.
Three legions of Sardaukar plus his own soldiers. Yeah. And plus having to pay the Spacing Guild.
Well, that's the part that he says is the expense, because the Spacing Guild puts a tax on a very high premium to transport troops and anything for anything to do with a war. So, it is, needless to say,
the Spacing Guild are war profiteering like a motherfucker out here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They'll carry both sides of the conflict in the same ship.
The rule is you don't fight inside the Highlander.
Yeah. they do not care.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you must squeeze Arrakis. And Raban's like, he's like, oh, so do I have free reign over any of this? He's starting to get excited. And he's basically just talking about like, well, can I have the cannons? Can you leave the cannons here? And the Baron's like, no, I'm not. I'm taking those back. Yeah. Those are only for a specific use or whatever. And then he's like, can I keep the laser guns? We know the Fremen don't use shields. And he was like, fine, you can keep the flay's guns.
Fine. Yeah. Have your toy.
And so he was just like, yeah, he's turning the planet back over to the beasts, and which is not good because he's a dick.
Who'd have thought a guy named Beast Rabin is a dick?
Cool. Yeah. So that's a very, very closely mirrored the scene in the book, which is nice. Just with the
seems absence. A little more succinct in the movie, but serves the same purpose.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more conversation because I mean, they talk for a good while about Thufir in this. He's the main part of this conversation, not the Raman squeezing things.
Cool. Art and Soul has some cool stuff. Yeah, about
let's hear about it.
Yeah. So. A lot of work actually went into developing this scene as well. It took them a while to like figure out the right combination of liquids for this black oil mixture. But it's a mixture of water, colored vegetable oil, and beeswax. Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
I
could see that because there's
beeswax was melted to give it that thickening agent almost to kind of like really make it like goopy and everything. But
interesting.
Inside the tank, there were heaters to keep it, you know, from, you know, re-solidifying.
You know, I have in my closet of mysteries in my house.
Yeah.
I have a bag of beeswax for some leather projects that I've done in the past.
Yeah. For our listeners, Zach also does, you know, custom leather work for himself. Nothing like super crazy.
No.
But like he makes watch bands and stuff for himself.
Yeah. If I need a belt, I just make a belt.
Yeah.
Make wallets, passport holders, all that stuff. So yeah, it's a good, like a finishing, product for leather goods. So I have like a bag of beeswax. I think it'd be cool to make it. Try to make this stuff.
Make this goop?
Yeah. Just like a small amount
of it. That'd be really, yeah. I don't know how well it would hold over time.
Oh, no. Probably not.
But
see, I was thinking that there was going to be some kind of like charcoal element to it.
No, it's just colored vegetable oil.
Yeah. You've seen those like the activated charcoal toothpaste thing that some people have used.
Yeah, shit's actually like really terrible to use, by the way, because
I'm not
it
advocating.
Tears away at your enamel.
Not advocating for it. It reminded me like that color was pretty spot on.
Yeah. So in this scene as well, they also were worried about Stellan's bodysuit not fitting fully in this vat. So what they did, and in order to make him more comfortable, was they only like did the prosthetics and everything on his head. Mm-hmm. And then he only wore the front side of the suit. So that way he could lay and be fully submerged under this oil and everything. But in the Ardan Soul of Dune, there's some really cool pictures of them like testing it on the prosthetics to see how the prosthetics would interact with this oil mixture and everything. And it's just Stellan looking like he's just standing there naked with some dude like just like pouring black oil across his chest and stuff, and it just looks really funny.
Gross.
But yeah, there's a bunch of really cool pictures from them like doing all the testing and everything with the bath, and then in order to get him once he's in his suit into the vat, they had to actually like crane him into it because the prosthetics were so large that he couldn't like move his own body into the vat of stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And suspensor fields aren't a real thing for us, so he can't just, you know, activate that and go off and do his own stuff.
Oh man, that's dedication.
Yeah. One thing that I was also thinking about too, like knowing that it was a mixture of water and vegetable oil and beeswax and stuff, like when he's rising out of the water, we see him with like his eyes shut really tight, but then like Stellan has his eyes open during the conversation, and I can only imagine the amount of takes that they did to try and like get this right and do it and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, ah, fuck, I got this in my eye.
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday, is like how uncomfortable, or earlier today, excuse me, how uncomfortable this is.
Yeah.
Just because, oh my God, it's, shit is dripping into his eyes.
Yeah. I would be curious to know how they did it with like the timing of him. I mean, I'm sure it's just cut so that he's not just like sitting there holding his breath under all this shit, waiting for Dave Bautista to like say his lines and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, he's a method actor through and through. He was underneath the whole
he's just
the whole time. Which is a interesting thought. So we see, was he like, let's talk about the Baron just like in this universe, was he holding his breath under there the whole time?
I don't know, because it's not like a back to thing thing where he's got like a respirator on his like mouth or whatever.
Or it's the do you remember the movie The Abyss?
Yes.
Where they have the liquid that you can breathe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's properties like that.
I don't know. It's some weird Harkonnen shit, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the lung capacity on that guy, if he can't breathe under there, is is crazy good.
Yeah. All that to say, our minute is over.
It is.
Ending with the most uncomfortable
carnival
ride of all time. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we are on various social medias. We are on Instagram at The Dune Minute.
Yep.
We are on Twitter at Dune Minute. And we have an email address.
What is that email address, Zach?
We receive emails at this email address.
Okay.
And if you would like to be the sender of one of those emails that we receive.
At this email address.
Yes, at this email address. Yep. Yeah. The thing that you would type into your to bar on your email client of choice would be duneminute@gmail.com.
I get that that's a like running joke for you and I, but I wonder how many people you're gonna piss off with that one.
I don't know, we'll see. Send us an email.
If you're pissed off at Zach for being overly reductive, send us an email and in the subject say fuck you, Zach. That's Zach spelled with a Z, C-H, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The cool. Not one of those fucking weirdos with a K.
I got the cool way.
Anyways, we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the Dune Minute Podcast.
Yep. See you then.
See you then.